Hello, everyone. I ought to begin by telling you, if you haven't already found this out, that I love to talk. People noticed this about me from a very early age. I remember hearing a conversation by my auntie and my mum. Oh, I suppose I must have been 6 or 7. And my auntie said to my mum, "I think Peter was vaccinated with a gramophone needle." And then a teacher wrote on one of my school reports, in the days when you literally could write anything, "If his brain worked as quick as his mouth, he'd be a genius." Well, it seems very apt then that Max has asked me to talk about how and why I should tell others. And let me say right from the start that whether you're an extrovert chatter like me, or if you're a shy introvert, God has got something to say to you this morning about talking faith with others. So why and how should we tell others about Jesus? Well, let's start with the why bit of the question. I think one simple answer to this is, why do we tell others, is to use the words of an old gospel song, "Because the Bible tells me so." Just before leaving earth for heaven, Jesus commanded his followers to go into the world to make disciples, teaching them everything about him. Now, teaching doesn't happen by somebody standing at the front of a classroom and the information suddenly being brought on with osmosis or telepathy, does it? Well, not in the classes that I've ever been in. No, the teacher stands and talks, and by that we learn. So if we want others to know about the love of Jesus, this life transforming life that we can have with him, then we've simply got to speak out. And then the Apostle Peter writes to a group of early Christians in today's reading, and he says this. He says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that's in you." Always, he says, always be ready to tell others about Jesus and what your faith means to you. So that's reason number one. Another reason why we should tell others is that there's just something in our human nature which can't keep good news to ourselves. Actually, there's something in our nature that can't give bad news to ourselves either, but let's just concentrate on the good bit. When Rosalind and I were at Theological College in London, there was a summer ball and we were expected to dress up. Now, basically, we were all very poor students and not many of the women had got ball gowns in their wardrobes. But one day, news came to college that one of the little shops in Southgate where we were had had a delivery of excess ball gowns from some big London store. It might even have been Harrods. Well, one of the women was a bit sceptical, but went down into the store, and sure enough, there were all these ball gowns there, and they were at ridiculous prices. She bought one and came back to college and told a friend, who went down and bought one too, and came back and told another friend, who told another friend, and another friend, including Rosalind. And it was great. All the women got the ball gowns ready for the summer ball. The only trouble was that on the night, there were at least 6 women wearing a version of the same dress. Anyway, the point is, good news spreads. And we like passing on good news. I love telling people about a bargain I've had, not to boast, but so they can benefit too. The Bible commands us to tell others. And within our nature, there's this ability to pass on good news. So why are some of us so reticent in telling others about our faith? A couple of years ago, I listened to a song by a woman called Emily Sandy, and it was called "Read All About It." And as far as I can tell, Emily Sandy is not a Christian, but it's uncanny how the words of that song resonate with what we're thinking about today, about being messengers of the gospel. The words in one of the verses say this. They say, "You've got words to change a nation, but why are you biting your tongue? You've got a heart as loud as lions, So why let your voice be tamed? A secular songwriter says, we've got words to change a nation. And do you know what? The Bible agrees. It says that ordinary Christians, people like you and me, have the words of eternal life. We have a message which can change lives, a message that can literally change a nation. So why do we keep silent when we should speak? Is it because we're scared of getting our words mixed up or looking silly? Or worried that we might let God down? Or worried that we might offend people and put them off? Well, can I deal with that last one about offending people and putting them off? 5 years ago, several Christian organisations pooled their resources and commissioned a survey of the UK population about their attitudes to Christians and to Christianity. It was called the Talking Jesus Survey. And you know what? It discovered some very interesting and frankly surprising things. It found out that 80% of our population know someone who's a Christian. It also found out that over 60% of our nation think that Christians are okay, despite the fact that we might think we're marginalised. Actually, the general population think Christians are a good thing. It also found out that more than half of the UK non-Christians know a Christian and have had a conversation with them about Jesus. And the very exciting thing is that 18% of people said that because of that conversation, they wanted to know more about Jesus. And this was especially in the age group aged 18 to 34. You see, more people are happy for us to talk about Jesus than we think. But the other thing the survey found out is that over 28% of Christians, that's over a quarter, don't feel comfortable about talking about Jesus. What did our reading say? Always be ready to give a concise account of the truths of our faith to those who ask. And you see, our survey shows that we have nothing to fear about being open and honest with our faith. And actually, in my experience, people are really fascinated when you talk about faith, because frankly, we're something of a rarity these days. Why should we tell others? Well, some good reasons, aren't there? But how do we do it? And that's where the rubber hits the road. How should we give this account of our faith? Can I give you some very simple tips? The first is, be natural. Tell your own story in your own words of what God means to you. And when I say your own words, always speak in a language that people understand. They don't understand our Christian jargon. Just be natural. Second thing is, talk about God and Jesus, but not about church. People are open to hearing about Jesus, but often they've got big problems and hang-ups with religion, i.e. church. So stick to what they want to hear, which is about our faith in Jesus. Third tip, do it all with grace. Our reading reminded us that we need to respond to questions with gentleness and respect. And that's so important. It's not always about what we say. It's equally important the way we say it. So no manipulation, no aggression, no dismissing people or their views out of hand, no matter how much we might disagree with them. And when difficult issues are raised by people, and believe me, they will be, don't get defensive. God's bigger than all of that. You know, people raise those difficult issues for a reason. And the more we take notice and listen to what they say, the more likely we and they are to respond well. So do it with grace and always leave people positive and ready for that next Holy Spirit encounter, which might be with us or might be with somebody else. And finally, don't worry. God will supply all the words we need. The Bible tells us that. In fact, he was there before us in every situation. I want to leave you with some really great advice given to me at a seminar by somebody called Robert Singlehurst, who is the CEO of a Christian charity. And he said that a gentle and respectful conversation was rather like a game of tennis, where the ball, which is the topic of conversation, should keep going between the players. But he also said that when we're having a conversation about faith with somebody who's not a Christian, we should make sure that the other person on the end of the conversation is always in control of it, not us. They shouldn't feel hemmed in. The week after I went to this seminar, I also went to the sauna at the gym I went to. And I sat there steaming away nicely when a chap walked in and began to talk. I thought this might be an opportunity to try out what Lawrence Singlehurst was said. And our conversation went something like this. So I started off by saying, "Are you doing anything over the weekend?" So I hand the ball over to him. He can answer or not, up to him. He said, "I'm off to Butlin's in Bognor." And he threw the ball back to me to see how I'd react. "Oh, I've not been to that one," I said. "But every Easter, we go to a big Christian festival at the Butlin's in Skegness." Threw the ball back to him. Was he going to take it on or ignore it? "Oh," he said, "are you a Christian then?" Ball back to me. I say, "Yes, actually, I'm a vicar. What about you?" Gave the ball back to him. And he said, "Well, I wouldn't say I'm a believer, but believe me, when something happens, I'm the first one to stick my hands together to pray." And then he said, "Actually, can I ask you something?" And there followed 15 minutes of really good conversation about faith in Jesus. But all the time, I was giving him the opportunity to stop the conversation whenever he'd had enough. And when it did stop, it was because he decided that it was at an end. I hope he felt in control. I hope he felt listened to. I hope he felt that as a Christian, when I talked, it was with grace and with respect. I don't think I've seen him since. I don't know when the next Holy Spirit conversation he had was going to happen. But I might see him again, and it might be with me. But just equally, it might be with one of you. So remember, why and how do we talk about Jesus? And remember that the Talking Jesus survey has found that people in the UK, that include your families, your friends, your neighbours, are much more open and wanting to hear about Jesus than we might think, if only we'll tell them about him. Because if we don't speak about him, who will? Let's just hear a bit of that reading again. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect."